Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singing Eagle. Call the number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
We're building fences here.
Hey, can you hand me that 2x4?
Yeah, hold on. There you go. Great.
Okay,
I think we got it. We're all set. Oh, hey, we're on the air. Hey, welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, with my two trusty friends here.
Hey.
Katie and David. So we are here live in my in-law's basement somewhere in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
We're jamming along, and it's kind of a cloudy,
yeah, cloudy little
rain. Cloudy little rain.
Yeah.
Spitting on you a little
That's
bit.
Okay.
Haven't been able to get much done, but how are you guys doing today?
I'm good.
Okay.
How about you, David?
I'm good, too. You know, we had a little picnic this weekend on Saturday.
Ooh.
So I was the first to get down to the park, and unbeknownst to all of us, there was a whole tournament of junior soccer going on there. So the parking lot was almost completely full, and people were coming and going the whole time. But
but
I grabbed the shelter house for us and waited, and Katie showed up. And then a few more people showed up. You know, it wasn't a large group, but it was a fun group. You know, we had a good time. We had plenty of food, and you know, we just really enjoyed the fellowship there. And you wore your panda hat, so that's always a fun.
Yeah, we were dancing around, having
yeah.
a good time. It's a safe environment, you know.
Yeah.
People are having a good time, and you know, people watch us from a distance sometimes, and sometimes people come up and participate. We know what's going on. But like I said, it's always a good time, and we always enjoy our company, and everybody's welcomed. And if you misbehave and you act like a jackass, we will ask you to leave. Like any good organization or place, we ask you to do.
Yeah, we try to, you know, if we have to, we can police our events, but we're not going to, you know, police people's relationships either. So.
No, we shouldn't have to. I mean, honestly, that's something that some people should do on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to, monitor or create healthy limits and boundaries with people that they're with. And, you know, like I said, we're all grown-ups. We're all adults. We have the tools. We have the means. If you don't feel safe someplace, you call 646-45 or 911, and you know what? Handle it that way, because the contract that I've written is I'm not here to protect you. I'm here to walk side-by-side with you and enjoy the journey and walk with you, know?
Well, we're healers and counselors, too. So, I mean, if somebody had a problem, they could come to us and talk about it. We could work it out and everything, you know. We could mediate some kind of an agreement or whatever. You know, if you're into that,
you make your own choices.
Yeah.
And things become the situation they are in your life sometimes because of the choices you've made. So it's not up to other people to fix your life for you. It's up to you to fix your life and go to the divine if you have to and pray about it and leave your burdens with your higher source instead of, you know, burdening your friends with your problems and your situations. I mean, talk to, you know, you can talk to your friends. I'm not saying don't go to your friends and talk about problems. But sometimes the situation over and over again, you're going to wear out your friends. And they're going to sometimes say, back off, please. I've had enough. I've given you all the advice I can give you. I've prayed for you till I'm blue in the face and my knees hurt and scarred from praying for you. So now it's time for this ego and move on. Sometimes you have to let some friends go and move on yourself if they don't want to take care of their, do something about their own situation.
That's true. I mean, if you're there, then you're part of the situation. Some people would say the problem, but I'm also the solution.
Or being an enabler.
Yeah, you know, that's why they have support groups. That's why people go to support groups, because people who have the same similar issues can relate to one another. And hopefully there's somebody there who can help them through the process.
Right.
But it's hard to go to somebody who makes shoes and tell them to fix your computer, you know. It's kind of that same scenario. You can't really go to people who I don't want to say they're necessarily qualified. Maybe they're qualified in the sense that they lived life and they live life, like, but everybody has a different situation. We're as different as every snowflake that falls in, or every raindrop that falls. So it may look the same, taste the same, but it's not the same. You know, we all have relationship issues. We all have relationship problems. But every situation, they bring things that are quite, but, you know, we can get into that for hours and we'll talk about that. But our community is kind of like that, too. I mean, our community is very different. Our community is, I hate to use the word love and light.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how people label people who do the kind of work we do.
We're peacemakers.
You know, I don't have nothing against the wording, really. But the biggest thing that I probably get triggered by is the standard and or the illusion or whatever they expect you to be.
Right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You know where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where you're going with it.
Expect the kindness for weakness, so to speak. And when you're in the ministry field, as I am, they think you're supposed to give, and then give some more. But sometimes enough is enough. I have to tell people, I'm sorry, I have no more I give you. I need to wipe the dust from my feet and move on. Be well. God bless you. Have a nice life. I will love you from a distance. Don't let the door hit you or the good Lord hit you, but don't come back to my door.
Right. Well, like, you know, there's people just, they don't, that's how they judge life and how that's how they measure a relationship is through drama and through how much trouble they're having because it's what they're used to. And so anything different from that would be so unfamiliar that they couldn't see themselves in that situation. So they almost generate that kind of drama in their life to keep it going, to be in a comfortable place for them. You know, maybe they don't feel they're having an effect on someone unless they're angry at them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I've seen it over and over again with people, so it must be a pattern that some people follow. So.
Some people do follow that pattern, and I've seen it over the years of people that will go to a group, infiltrate the group, use up every single person in that group till they've used up their last straw, and they've broken the camel's back, and then they'll be kind of ostracized from that group. So then they move on to the next group, and then they'll do the same and keep going and going and going, not fixing their life, not seeing that they're wrong in any way, seeing everybody else is wrong, until they don't have anywhere else to go, until they rock bottom, then they start in for help. And I open up your friends. Start looking inward. Look within. Look into your own life. See what's going on. Why do I keep losing friends? What's going on with me that nothing in my life is going right? And then when you look within, why can't I keep a boyfriend? Or why can't I keep a girlfriend? Or why does my best friend not want to speak to me anymore? When you look within and you go over some assessments and go over some different patterns in your life, maybe you will see what's going on, and then you can fix what's going on. Not saying every situation is like Lord different. And in our group, we're a very eclectic group. So we welcome, we try to help each other out with stuff, but still, we as individuals have to sometimes look within and say, hey, what am I doing? How can I be in a situation better? How can I be a better friend to my friend Iggy or my friend David? How can I understand their life and what they're going through on a daily basis and be a better sister to them?
Well, this is what happens. This is what I notice, is that like energies do attract. So people who have similar, you know, ideas, similar beliefs, similar, you know, things they have to do, similar, they do together. But here's the catch. Sometimes the people they date don't necessarily jive with what they're doing, pick up whatever. Then they get kind of stuck in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're in this group with these people who they really don't resonate with. They like them, but they really don't understand them. But they're there because they've been accepted by the people who are in the group.
Yeah.
But you know, at some point, sometimes it comes to a head. You know, where they just don't click.
Yeah.
And you know, no matter how they try, no matter how hard they want it to work, it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of good people like that who are
drop out
drop-off. Not because, it's, a lot of it is because of the partner. Their new partner or their old partner outgrew them or they outgrew us. Because we outgrow people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I say outgrow, it doesn't mean a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. You know, you do, sure, you do go with different ideas. You start to do things that you, like other things that you're excited about. You know, that old thing, just, you know, that old Buick just doesn't do it anymore. So you got that Mercedes a little bit, you know.
And there's a time for people to maybe get something from what we offer and then take that and move on to the next part of their life. And that's perfectly fine.
Absolutely.
It's understandable, but not being stuck. You know, you shouldn't feel like you're stuck anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good place to be.
The time and a season for everything.
Yeah.
Some people are for a season, and some people are for a reason that come into our lives.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There's a song like that.
It also comes from scripture.
Okay. Yeah, that's where they got from. Now, you had some things on your mind.
Yeah,
you were
pondering. Know, some things have been kind of stirring around, you know, and it's maybe a while that we're beginning to kind of talk about it. But I want to talk about, first of all, you know, and you've experienced this too, Iggy, where we...
1 second, David.
Okay.
I have to give a PG-13 rating on this one because it could turn into that. This may be PG-13, so hold your horses. We'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Some things now, folks.
My
spiel. Here's come all my grievances, folks. No. I wanted to say, first of all, that I'm a real person. I don't espouse love and light all the time. I try to be very open, very loving, and very positive. But I have my down times. I have my times when things are for instance, if I wanted to post a joke online on Facebook, that might be a little risque or a little off color or a little, you know, kind of off of what we normally talk about. I'm almost afraid to, because people can go right back to me and go, oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't give that in your energy to that kind of negativity or that opinion or something, because you're just empowering that in your life. And I'm like, you know what? I've got a sarcastic side to me a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a joking side. I've got a side that doesn't always follow, you know, the rainbow. You know, sometimes it's fun to go off, you know, and be human. Show that out of yourself. I want to be real. I don't want to be, I don't walk a foot above the ground when I walk down the street. I'm on the ground. I'm walking and talking just like, you know, a person. I wrestle with these things inside of myself daily almost, you know, and I win. But, you know, I come to peace with it. But at the same time, it's part of who I am,
mm-hmm.
You know. And I think that's a little bit about the crow, too, is that it's taught me to walk on that dark side a little bit and not be afraid. When I was a younger person, I never really spoke up. I didn't like to get into conversations. And my father was, you know, he would argue you right into the ground. You know, if you didn't have everything lined up about what you believed in, then you could forget it. So I just learned to avoid that, you know. I don't feel like being beaten in the head sometimes by trying to define my own opinions. Like I said in a little video earlier today, you know, you can win an argument by beating someone into the ground, but that doesn't make you a winner. It makes you a bully, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just I learned to avoid that. But at the same time, I also didn't stick up for some things that I thought were right at times because of that. So now that I'm older and I'm more confident with myself and I've come into my own, I've learned to speak for some of us as we go through our life. So part of my truth is that, you know, I'm not, everything that doesn't come out of my mouth, you know, is lollipops and sunshine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's darkness to work with, you know. So
you gotta be bold and strong sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it'd be like coffee without cream and sugar.
Grow a pair.
just like you're dressed all in black.
Yeah,
but you know what? In the end, though, everything is.
Everything is awesome.
Anyways, it's kind of like our. It's kind of like how we live, in a sense, in the world. It's kind of funny. That movie has a lot of Mm-hmm. There's a lot behind that movie. I mean, it's a child, it's a kid's movie, but it's acting all of
it. Yeah. And you can even look at it spiritually, too. You know, that there was an evolution of the character from an ordinary guy. Got everything off. Didn't see the real, you know, purpose of what was going on and the real manipulation of what was going on.
But you know what? Through the whole movie, even though he was going through all the crap and everything he was going through and all the things he was experiencing, all the things that were molding him to be a man, a Lego man, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was carrying that cap. It was actually the blue cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was awesome still to him. You know, and deep down inside, he still believed in the awesomeness, that there was always a hope and there's always love and joy. You know, even when we have to, you know, wade through the crap,
right?
Or in their case, glue,
yeah, you
know, and be frozen in time and stuck. You know, and that's kind of like you're being frozen,
right.
You know, parts of you that are locked in forever.
Mm-hmm.
He fought through that. You know, he went to a higher source. He went to a place where, you know, where everybody thought it was the end. He got thrown down that tunnel. But, you know, he persevered. He kept going. And he still, even when he was in that trick state, that catatonic state where he couldn't move, he was still a toy, but he still communicated. He still believed. He never gave up.
Right.
You know, and then he finally, you know, things started to happen for him. But not because the things around were happening, just because they were happening inside him.
Inside of him, yeah.
He was making that choice, like Katie was talking about earlier. This guy was making choices not to. I can't do it,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the things we take for granted, the little things, which is kind of cool when the emperor guy, I forget his name, but he had all the things, you know, that you see in our regular life, like different artifacts and stuff,
right,
that had fallen through the wormhole there. And I was laughing sometimes. I was like, oh, 9-volt battery. Wow, that's pretty cool. But we, you know, little things we take for granted sometimes.
They were like sacred objects or treasures for them.
Yeah, and they were very sacred to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but that movie was really cool because sometimes we're conformists. We conform to society. We do what society says. We dress the way it's saying. I said that in one of my other videos. It's the same thing. We have choices. It's because we made these choices to do that. In collective society, we decided that, you know, we're going to buy from Giant Eagle. We're going to buy from Walmart. You know, now Walmart is so huge, right? And everybody's like, let's go buy from Walmart. But, you know, what happens to Walmart? What happens to all those people who become unemployed from Walmart? You know, after Walmart collapses, you know, no one thinks about that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, the small mom and pop and dad shops run out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did get oblivious of them, they got rid of them. That's fine because it's called progress and they move forward. And evolution, even in the light evolution that happens, some people get stuck in that old, well, you know, there's nothing but the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you recognize the shadows of yourself. When the character, the shadow was the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, and then they have the shaman guy.
Yeah.
Which really didn't know anything, but he was just there, you know, to, you know, put belief in him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, there's a guy there who, you know, you look up to him, and when you're looking up to this guy, you think he's everything, he's cool, but he doesn't have any magical powers. You've created magical powers for him.
But you're believing in him.
They're
right.
Yeah. So you've actually created him to be much bigger. Same as the main character. He was much bigger than he really was.
Right. The power is in you all the time.
Yeah, really. Always. Constantly.
You know, all healing is self-healing. All empowerment is self-empowerment, you know.
Absolutely.
We give that to ourselves. And some people, they almost have like blinders on where they don't want to hear about anything bad. They don't want to
see anything.
Confront anything bad. Anything you bring up that isn't in that paradigm of theirs, is they want to push it away, you know. And you can't avoid what's in the world by pushing it away, you know, or the world will roll over you because, you know, we're not immune. We don't live in a little island. You know, we interact with it, with that every day.
But you resist, persist.
Right.
So the things you're pushing away are actually on you more than not.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to say, oh, yep, there's a cloud over there. There's a dark cloud. But you know what? I don't need to go over there.
Right.
You know, some people are like, no, there's nothing over there. I'm looking over there. No, I'm good right here. I'm in the light. I'm going to be right here. I'm genuine.
Right.
Sometimes the darkness helps us appreciate the light.
Mm-hmm.
Or makes us stronger that we can climb out of the darkness into the light.
Right. Well, here's the thing. When you're the bubble, when you're the light, darkness wants to absorb, you know, wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it needs it. It has to have it because it wants to heal. But when you're so engulfed in your own light and you don't see that there's shadows around you and that people are longing for it, I'm not saying you have to fix everybody. You know, but the light, you know, that darkness is attracted to that light. It wants part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Shadows. You know, when you put a sign at a certain time, you cast shadows.
Mm-hmm. And we're like workers. And workers means that we go into the darkness and we bring our light. We work with the darkness. We don't avoid it. We don't put ourselves as apart from it. You know, it's part of life and part of our nature. So, and part of the world. So mm-hmm. we go in there and we work with it. And I think when we avoid that, we cripple ourselves and we cripple ourselves. There's that work in this world that don't care about us because mm-hmm. we don't see us as a factor. We're not effective. We're not a threat. We're not confronting them. We just back off and, you know, we get marginalized that way. Our whole community gets thought of as just some kind of footnote in whatever, you know, that we don't have an effect on the world. But and there's powerful forces running. If we bonded together, we found our common ground and stood against that, then we would be noticed. Then we could make a change, you know?
Well, it's like, you ever see that bee commercial on Facebook, which is little bees? They finally realize that there's a problem. The plants can't pollinate them. They can't do it. Bees start to make these signs, and they start flying around. It's an animated thing, but it's like real animation, not like clay or...
Yeah.
But it's, and they're showing these bees, and they're like, how old are these signs? They're on the streets protesting, trying to get the humans' attention. Mm-hmm. But the humans are so oblivious, you know, they don't even see them.
Right.
It's like a 2D and 3D and the different different dimensions. Mm-hmm. You don't know things. Well, we kind of live like that too. You know, you made a good point about that. We mm-hmm. kind of live in those dimensional parts of our reality. There are parts of this world that are trying to communicate to us constantly that we're not paying attention. But all like this is where they and they talk about the destruction of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That the aliens would land, two things around, they come here peacefully or not.
Right.
And the peaceful ones would, you know, we'd understand us, and from the other ones would understand us because we wouldn't mean anything to them. We were just like that little bees with the protest signs. Hey, we're here. And we're like, they have no concept of
right.
us. We don't exist. Mm-hmm. We're just like a blade of grass. Mm-hmm. You're just part of my life, you know, away with you. Mm-hmm. So we do that as humans. We do that to wildlife. We do that to Mother Nature. We just do away with you. You know,
push you out of your body and see you an intruder when you come back, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that I'm here. When the ecosystem collapses.
Right.
And when people, you know, start to cry and stuff. Because when the clean water's gone, and, you know, when there's no trees to breathe properly,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to be a whole different way of living.
Right.
You know, it's going to be we're giving up a lot right now to live, whatever
lifestyle that we have, it's not sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable.
We're a petroleum society.
Mm-hmm. And we should look at all the other energy sources we have around. It's amazing that we still, you know, have that. We still think that way in this 21st century. But, I mean, we've had problems in our nations in a different way. Each you know, and I feel like sometimes I can talk about that to people because they would just go, I don't want to hear that. I only want to hear that one day we're all going to wake up and we'll be instantly enlightened and we'll all just go, I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to hate anymore. I don't want to have any more war. And I'm telling you it's going to be a struggle because this has to go through to evolve.
You know, I posted on Facebook today. I put, sustainable. Then watch them knock at your door.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, then I also put, when you have the right tools, it makes it much easier, physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what do you mean by that? I mean,
well, it's kind of like what we're talking about. You know, when you have the right tools in the toolbox, you know, when you're doing a construction job, that's why you do all the tools.
Oh, okay.
Build things properly. I mean, you can have a screwdriver and put it in, or you can have a screw gun, you know, put a little bit on the drill and drill quicker. But also, like, in the metaphysical light, you know, if we have the right tools in order to self-coach, self-help ourselves, and the people who understand what I'm talking about get that. And then we get a lot of posts, which is good. That means people kind of, you know, trying to process it. What does that mean? Or he's just saying awful stuff. No, but we learn how to, you know, we start to learn how to take ourselves. We start to learn to self-parent. We teach ourselves how to self. When you hear me say it's one more thing to add to your toolbox, when you hear me say that sometimes, that's kind of what I'm saying. You know, one more thing to add to your toolbox. One more thing I heard from you. One more thing I heard from you that I can help and use for myself to project somebody else, because we're only, you know, what's in our head to other people. So from that projection, we create, you know, whatever response we get, and that's what we get. So if like I project anger in you, and for no reason, you're like, you're going to respond, or you're going to react, one of the two.
Yeah.
There's just nothing, you know. Even when you don't respond and you don't say anything, that's a response.
Yep.
That's what people, you know, choice. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun. It's fun to sit here and go, you know, wow, you know. and we'll go reflect back. And I have a long way to go because you're way ahead of me. In years, you know, you have other experiences I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You have other experiences I had. And I've had experiences you find that.
Yeah.
All three of us have had experiences that none of us will ever be able to experience because they're ours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we experience moments together. You know, we experience moments together, but yeah, that experience, we experience it differently.
Yeah, we see it through different sets of eyes. You know?
But that's important to
know.
That's super important to know. People don't understand it. You know, people are like, I really get stuck on that. You see that? You see that? So in the day with stuff now, UFO doesn't mean anything to us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bigfoot doesn't mean anything to us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny you said it because we are, I think we're 5 years apart from each other.
Yeah.
Then we're erected for ethnic groups.
Yeah,
that's true. We're melting pot right here in Iggy Central.
Yeah, so, and we have all grown up in different backgrounds. David from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up here in Columbus, Ohio, born and raised. Iggy grew up in Columbus, Ohio, but he was born in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I've lived 7 years in New York City from 2000 to 2000. So, we all had some different experiences and backgrounds and things that's happened in our lives. And I'm 50. I'll be 51 soon. Iggy's 45. So
47, actually.
You're 47?
Yeah,
so
10 years.
Maybe not too long. Just about three and a half years from me. And then David is 51.
57.
57.
Yeah,
I was thinking you were 55.
Older. Yeah. Okay.
So we are a few years apart from each other, but and come from different backgrounds. But we live life here in Ohio, Central Ohio right now. And I've known these guys for about 5 years now. So, and gone through some love and some hate and some
so
fights.
I don't
want to
be involved in that anymore.
Too.
I can't get enough of this. I've gone to extremes too, you know.
Yeah, some things that's made us grow together, you know, and experience life and different people and different groups. And we still get along. We've gotten along. We've gotten through some hard times, some hurdles, some you know,
some
rich, some, not saying some joy, some pain. No rich and poor, because we're all kind of...
kind of. I'll talk about that in a minute.
So we're rich. We're rich in
another
way.
Rich in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so much monetary, but rich in life things and life choices and relationship and things with each other and our family. So life goes on in the choices, and it's all a part of the choices we make and how we handle those situations. React, like how do we react, or do we take some kind of action, or learn how to forgive, learn how to put things to the side, learn how to do for each other and be there and jump some hurdles sometimes or climb some mountains,
mm-hmm. Push ourselves past where we think we could go, you know.
Yeah, just like our heights.
Yeah.
Who would think me? I'm a 300-pound woman with fake knees and one prosthetic leg, and I'm climbing cliffs. And
yeah.
And one time y'all had to push me up a hill, but.
You take one side.
What about the baby wipes, though?
But you know, push me past my limits,
yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
Sure.
You know, we can do things when we help each other, mm-hmm. You know, so that's what it's about. And that's what sustainable living too is about too, is helping each other to live life and live life to the fullest and live off the land, which we are looking for land. And if there's someone out there that has land or a benefactor that's willing to help us purchase land, then we welcome you.
We will show you all kinds of plans and designs and what we got in mind too. And
yeah,
there's a lot. So,
you know, Katie said something, you know, when she was going through that hike, you know, she was going through all those little passages and crevices that were really tight. You know, I didn't really help her. Neither did you. I mean, we didn't abandon her. You know what? Everybody who was around us was kind of like, okay, we're going to help you. You know, like, you know, we were like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but Katie, you know, when she needed help, she'd ask for help.
Mm.
You know, so it was one of those things that, and I know I could see people looking at us like, are you going to help your friend? I'm like, she's our friend. She knows her limits, you know. If she needs our help, we're there, you know.
Exactly.
We want her to also, you know,
grow from this.
You know, conquer the mountain too, you know. And, you know, if we're always there oh, come on, Katie. Oh, poor thing. Let me help you, you know, because I could hear them talking like, and I could see Katie's face like, poor thing. What are you talking about? I just need some help, you know. I don't need your pity.
Because one time you all were already up the hill. Y'all were up there, and I was looking at this steep,
I was across the street,
half worn away steps that they had, and I'm like, okay, Lord, how am I going to get up here? And I'm like, oh, we come down and help you. Just yell. I said, I'll call you when I need help. And I had my walking stick and just one step at a time. Even one step I had to get up on my knees and do. But
I could just hear you everyone say, oh, dear Father, help me, Jesus.
No, you did a good job. I was really.
So that's what I did. Call on the Lord, call on my angels.
Mm-hmm.
They're there, you know, help me up the hill, you know, and if I fall backwards or roll down the hill, I'll probably get back up and keep
going.
If
you fell to the side, you were in the water, so I was like, that's not going to hurt.
Or off the side of the cliff.
She's going to hit the water pond, and the water's kind of high this year, so we're good.
But I did well. We'll conquer it again. Maybe, you know, in the spring or even beforehand or whenever we decide to go back to those cliffs.
Yes.
But they're there. They're waiting for us.
Good friends walk away, right? Come on, you're holding up the group. Come on. No, you did great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And we knew you could do it, so it wasn't like we weren't abandoning. We just wanted to, just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to
give you the benefit. Yeah, respect.
I wanted to see what I could do and was I able to do it myself. So.
Now, you know, people figured that out after a while, too. Mm-hmm. As they were walking through the hike, they're like, well, maybe she wants to do this. Maybe she doesn't. You know, if she wants out, you know, then Katie, you know, eventually people were like, it wasn't so many people anymore. Because everybody's on a journey. See, it's
a shaman walk for us, too. Yes. You know, and each of us grow and push ourselves as we go through that. People think, oh, they've done this a lot, but everyone's different, you know. Mm-hmm. Every trip time out there is different, you know.
And it will be different every time.
Mm-hmm. So if you're out there and you're in the central Ohio area, come with us on a shaman walk sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Come climb the cliffs. Come hike the trails with us.
Climb every mountain.
Walk the vortex.
Ford every stream. Okay. So I want to take on another sacred cow.
Okay.
Of the metaphysical community. And this is kind of a big one. So
is this
great
PG?
A little bit. Okay, well, I just wanted everyone to understand.
Okay.
And that is...
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
And that's, you know, and that's what really gets me the most. So that's all I've got to say about that.
Oh, that was awesome. That was perfect.
No, good old Iggy.
What are you doing?
Katie, what are you doing here? All right. I wish you had a webcam right now. This is it.
Where's my phone when I need it? Okay, you're stuck.
Sure.
I'm going to
pee.
Oh, my God.
Well, all right. Should we put some music on?
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
It's for your eyes only.
Okay.
Like James Bond song.
It's like that Austin Powers bed thing, you know.
Just picture our good friend Katie.
Yeah.
We're kind of locked in this little space right here, and she's trying to jump over David, and she kind of like fell into my couch and got stuck in there. And then she just started giggling and laughing, and it was just funny. No,
those are the kind of things that happen, man.
Yeah, so it's just crazy. Very spontaneous group.
It's crazy.
Okay.
So back to the sacred cow.
Yeah, back to the sacred cow.
And that sacred cow is the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot about it, you know, and there's the secret, you know, and I've done some research, and I was aware of it before it came out in this modern incarnation of the secret, that it comes from the New Thought movement, which was on the turn of the 20th century. In the 19th century into the 20th century, people were looking for something not so dogmatic, and they turned to the religions of the East. That they became more popular in parts of America and the Eastern coast. And along with that came the idea that thoughts are things, and we can think our way to wealth. We can think our way to health. We can think our way, you know, we turn our attitude around. You know, there's some real positive messages in that, too. It empowered people, especially women. There were a lot of women in that early movement who became leaders. The Christian Science movement came out of that. The Church of Religious Science came out of that. Unity Church came out of that. And so those folks really embraced that new way of looking at life, that we are empowered and we are children of the most high God, you know, and that we, each of us are empowered to do that. We don't have to take that from somebody on the pulpit or some religious order, you know, some hierarchy of that kind. So that was really great. And then, of course, along with that came the idea that, you know, like I said, you can think your way to riches, and you have a positive attitude, and you can attract all of these things that you want, all your goals and desires. And so in our modern times now, that's come around again as The Secret. And I almost, you know, I feel like it limits us in a way, because we're constantly thinking, if you follow that, you know, you keep your attitude going, you keep imagining, envisioning, and trying to manifest. But what if that doesn't happen? You're going to start to blame yourself. You're going to start to go, I'm not doing it right. I've got to keep this different. I've got to keep my attitude different. I've got to, you know, improve. Pretty soon you're blaming yourself for not manifesting. And really, when you look at successful people, they not only have a positive attitude. I'm going to look at it. Not only have a positive attitude, they work hard and they believe and they network with people. They bring people around them who feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And there's more to it than just thinking, you know, that you're always about.
Sorry.
You need a hand.
You might
need to give her a hand there.
I'm stuck in a hole.
I'll give her a hand.
Seems like we always go here, folks, where we start out serious and we end up stuck in a hole. Okay, here we go. Here we are. Come on up. Okay.
Okay.
We really need to get some video of this. Oh, my goodness. But you know what I'm saying. I hope you know what I'm saying.
No, I totally get what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Look, I mean, our community, I venture to say, is among the lower end of the economic scale. And why? I mean, is it because we're not hoping and thinking and giving ourselves enough positive energy? I don't think so, because I know some very positive people, you know, and
so why?
Trying to manifest all the time.
Why are they broke?
Why are they broke metaphysicians?
You know, why are they broke?
And why are there some rich people who are fabulously wealthy and don't give a thought about that? They don't give a rat's ass about, you know.
But there are rich people who do give a thought and ass about it. You know, there are people who are super wealthy. But here's the thing. You know, you're talking about the law of attraction, which is also the law of receiving. You know, you have to be able to receive as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know how to receive. You know, it's like business. You know, you put the intention out there and what you want to do, but then you got to follow up, you got to follow through, and you got to keep going. You know, it doesn't stop. And a lot of people aren't designed that way. You know, we've been designed here recently in the last, 100 years maybe, or 50 years maybe, to be dependent, to be dependent of a, you know, certain, you know,
depending on job, government, right. Yeah.
So it's very hard for somebody to come out of that kind of
background
and upbringing that, you know, hey, you're going to be on welfare. I was on welfare. You're going to be on welfare. There's nothing against welfare. My dad worked in a factory. You're going to work in a factory. You know, we talk about Russia, how they, you know, everybody who lives in Russia, they do what their father did. When you look around, a lot of us do what our father did, you know, our mothers did, you know, maybe by choice or maybe because the parents say, hey, you know what, you should be a doctor, because you know what, there's a lot of money in it. Mm-hmm. And number two, you don't want to be, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that.
Programming.
It's called programming. You have to reprogram the whole thing. And if you have Windows, you know, 3.5, if there ever was one, I don't know what it was. I don't remember how far back it went. But, and then you have Windows 2000. Whatever, 2014 now, there's a big difference between the two.
You have to wipe your operating system and reinstall.
Upgrade.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what happens to a lot of people. Some people are not willing to go. Okay, for example, I'm not saying this is every case, but when you're in business, okay, just for example, you're talking about law of attraction. You're talking about wealth building, okay? Well, it's really hard to build wealth working at McDonald's. You can do it. Okay, you can do it, because it's been proven to me that you can do it.
Work your way up to a manager and all that.
It's about saving. It's about cutting out things and cutting out the fat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Right?
But in our society, we've been taught that we have to live a certain way, work a certain way. And when you're doing wealth building, you're actually doing wealth building on yourself. You're working on you, the aspects of you. If you're looking to become rich, then you got to do the things that make you rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't, you cannot.
Manifest.
Yeah,
come in the mail.
Money doesn't drop from the sky like
no.
that.
No.
Okay.
You got to work.
Okay.
No, I'm sure some people have had that happen, you know.
There's, because you know what? There's all levels of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the manifestation, there are different components that sometimes people leave out. Well, I don't want to get up at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to stay till midnight. No, I don't, you know. Because there's an old saying, you know, 98% of success is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's true.
So the other percent that are left, just a few percent that are left, is, you know, nothing. It's, you know, it's the things that, you know, you discount, the things you put off.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
Gotta be good.
The secret did. That was just a teaser. And people don't realize that the secret was just a teaser. But the whole video concept of that thing, that's all actually goes way back to John Paul Getty and all of those, you know, Napoleon Hill and all those guys who created, you know, all these guys who created all these magnificent How to Get Rich books. And it's not that they got rich, it's how you got rich inside and manifested it outwards is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work on you.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, and it's important to know that. People are not happy with themselves most of the time.
Right.
And we fall short very quickly. We live in a society that, you know what, oh shit, it's been a year and I haven't gotten anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, sometimes it takes
10 years.
Mm-hmm. 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a progression. And it's something that's working. We live in this "I want it now" society,
right?
You know, and that, a lot of, even our holistic people do that. Our people we work with, they want it now, but they don't realize within that progress, within that work they're doing, that they're actually creating, and they're actually manifesting, and that they're actually building, preparing themselves, you know, to the next level. If someone gave me $5 million right now, I wouldn't know what the heck to do with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, truthfully, I would not know what to do. I would not be prepared to have
It'd
that much
more
money.
Of a problem than answer.
It would put me in a whole different tax bracket. And I would, you know, most people say, I pay my bills off. But once you pay your bills off and stuff, you know, you still got quite a bit of money left over.
Yeah.
And then next year, you got to figure out how to make the money work for you. That's what rich people do. Rich people, they make the money work for them. So they don't have to work because they don't want to work. They work because they've already left, created the foundation.
It's not because they're lazy. It's just that they want to pursue their passions and their hearts.
The average Joe or Jane is not willing to go out of their comfort zone and do things. Yeah, there's the middle class is lucky in our country because if you do just enough, you get just enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we call it the middle class.
Yeah.
You know, the ultra wealthy, you know, people talk about taking their money and giving it, distributing it to the poor. I mean, you can do that. But I guarantee you, they'll be ultra wealthy again because they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You give it to people who don't know how to handle money, and they're going to blow it.
Yeah.
They'll be gone. You know, wealthy people don't care if you take their money, you know, because they'll get more.
Yeah.
They know how to do it. You know, take it to them. But, you know, I find it very condescending, disrespectful when people say, oh, the rich people should help this and that. You know what? They shouldn't have
to help
anybody. They don't have to help anybody.
Right.
Okay.
We should help ourselves.
Now, if they help people along the way, then it's a plus for us.
Right.
You know, because it's their money. They earned it. It's like someone coming at your door and say, hey, you know what, Iggy? You're making too much money, buddy. You know, you really. And you know what? And Jack down the street, you know, he just can't do it. You know, he's collecting beer cans from the trash can. But you know what? He can't do it. You know, and I go, well, you know, Jack and I live on the same street. Why can't he do it? You know, what's going on? Well, I don't know. Jack just wants to sleep in, and, you know, there's a lot of factors. Well, you know, I'll tell Jack to get off his jack ass, you know? You know? Yeah, but I'm trying, you know, it's funny.
I know what you're saying.
But, you know, I owned a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, people thought I was rich. People thought I had money. People thought that I was well off. I had food.
Yeah.
I could eat. So, you know, so I had that advantage on people. I didn't have to starve.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to come every month. I had to juggle my home, my house. I don't live in my house anymore because of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a home anymore. And I live here,
mm-hmm.
but I had to juggle every month, you know, this and that, because when the bills come and you say, hey, I can't pay, you know what they say? Oh, you're a business. You should be making tons of money. You know, oh, well, we'll help you. We'll push it back. We'll push it back. You know, so every month I was paying in the rear, you know, you know, it was an illusion.
Right.
I created this illusion and I thought, you know, okay, would it have worked? Yeah. But I probably would have aged in the process,
mm-hmm.
you know. And become very ill, possibly.
Or bitter in your attitude.
Because I was becoming bitter.
Lost.
I'll tell you right now, I was becoming bitter because you know what? I was paying out more stuff than I was keeping.
Right.
And I pride myself in being a very good businessman. But there's just certain businesses some people are just not cut out to do.
Right.
And, you know, it took me a while to accept that fact. You know what? Maybe I'm just not cut out.
And not feel like you're letting somebody down or a failure or something.
Yeah. The only person I was really letting down was myself.
Yeah.
And by letting myself down, it put me into this vibration, you know, where it just puts me in a lower vibration. Everybody around me starts to notice. And the wife starts to react a certain way. Then you wonder what's wrong with her, because it's nothing wrong with her, because it's all about me.
Right.
It's what's happening to me. And then she becomes, gets in the funk. And then I come out of the funk, and she's still in the funk, but she thinks you're in the funk.
Yeah.
You know, so all of a sudden, you're all in the funk.
Between the two.
Yeah.
You're all funky.
You know, and so we're all this funk, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, everything's changed. Your whole life's warped because of decisions and because of things. Does the law of attraction work? Yeah, because it does work. And you have to be careful because it's very powerful. It's very powerful because be careful what you wish for.
Or what your attitude is.
And what your attitude is within that wishing moment, because action does take part. You have to have action in the law of attraction. You have to put action into it. It doesn't work without action.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit there and just, like they have in the video, a big elephant just shows up in your room.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way.
Right, right.
But our thoughts do create energy. Our mind does create
energy. I do believe that. And I'm not saying it doesn't, really. I have respect for that whole idea. And I've seen it work in my own life.
Sure.
I'm just saying that a lot of people, I think, are too dependent upon that, you know, and they're not going out and they're not planning. They're not cooperating with each other. We're not building a real community here. We've got people living in their little bubbles of, you know, of positive energy for myself and thoughts. And there's so much cooperation that could be going on. But we're part of a system of competition, you know. And that's because we live in one, you know, this whole United States, this whole capitalist society is all about, I'm going to get a better job, you know, and but when I get a better job, someone else isn't going to get a job, you know, by default, you know. So we climb a ladder, you know, and we end up being in competition. And I don't think it has to be that way so much. I think we play into the system's hands when we do that.
You know, Gary, he asked a question, our friend Gary, Aaron, he asked, how do you create wealth and be spiritual? He was asking me. He's smoking a little cigarette, looking without the sunglasses. But he laughed because I guess he thought we were ignoring because we got into the
topic.
Oh, okay.
Topic. Well, that's okay. You're still out there.
But, you know, we can have him listen to the show. So,
yeah.
Well, so how do you create wealth, you know, and being spiritual at the same time? I don't know. It's a good question. You know, how do you create one and be in one?
I think you do it because wealth comes as a secondary to your doing your heart's desire. You know, you're really out there doing the work you're supposed to do. And whether you have wealth, like, you know, stacks of money, or wealth like a rich life that your passions are being exercised and you're out there doing what you're designed to do. To me, that's wealth, you know, and it doesn't matter if you live in an apartment or, you know, a mansion, if you're happy and fulfilling all that and growing, you know, that's wealth to me.
And then you have to ask yourself, what kind of illusion are you going to create? Because you will create an illusion for yourself if you're not careful. You know, here I am, spiritual person, I can't have money.
Yeah.
You hear that all the time.
Right.
Oh no, but I can't. What are you freaking talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, churches preach it all the time.
That's like the sun. That's like the Mother Earth going, oh, I don't need the sun today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need the sun. We don't need the sun. You can just stay there. I don't turn around. Just don't come around, you know.
Right.
You need that. You do need wealth. You do need that energy because it's part of how we survive right now. Right now, how we live, part of our system.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be open to creating wealth. You should be open to absorb it and bring it in. You know, wealth is not just money.
It's taking something from someone else.
Yeah, and you know, being a spiritual healer or a spiritual, you know, practitioner or whatever. I don't even call myself a healer anymore because you know I'm not healing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, I mean, you know, that makes it a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
Because now it's back on you.
Right.
To do the work. You know, I'm going to do some things,
sure.
You know, so your ego goes, oh, wow, that's cool. Yeah, I can feel it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shoulder was really hurting. Now it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It was never hurting before.
Right.
You know, you just healed yourself. Yes.
All healing yourself.
You opened up the window to healing. Mm-hmm. You opened up the window to receive.
Yeah. It's not like I have some special power that I'm going to put into you. You've got the power in you, and we, as practitioners, we bring that out.
Working together, we use the powers I have and the powers you have. And we bring it together. We merge.
Mm-hmm.
1 or 2 powers activate. You know, that's kind of how it works.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the way I look at how I do my work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it takes a big responsibility to say somebody, I'm going to heal you. Because you ever hear people, doctors never say they're going to heal you.
Yeah.
You know, when
we can try to treat this disease.
Yes. There's always a patient who goes, oh, doctor, heal me, save me. He goes, We'll do our very best to take care of you. And they say stuff like that.
Yeah.
They never use the word healing. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of malpractice and different kinds of things. So they know.
Yeah.
You know, they know that they can't really
use their words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And doctors are becoming better with this. They're actually choosing their words better. You know, empowering people to, like, well, you got to fight the good battle. Right. You got to do whatever, you know. We need you to, like, step up.
Live.
Will to live, yes. You have to have the will to live. You have to have the will to heal.
This pill isn't going to, you know.
Right.
Cure anything if you don't.
But wealth and spirituality, they can exist. They do exist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at some of the great preachers in our time. I don't know if they're great in the sense of, you know, what they're saying. They're not only saying things that have already been said before. Yeah, they're repeating things, man.
Yeah.
They're standing on a pulpit repeating something out of a book that was written by a supreme being, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then another guy down the street is saying the same damn thing.
Mm-hmm. And then they sell their books and tapes and DVDs and CDs, and they're selling stuff also. So that's how they're, I mean, that money.
So a $1,000 seed right now, and you will be blessed.
And why, David? You said it right there. You said it right there. You said it right there. What did you say?
Sow a seed, you'll be blessed.
What did you say?
I said, sow a $1,000 seed right now, and you will be blessed.
Okay.
The Lord has said it in His word.
Now, did Billy Graham believe that?
I don't know if Billy Graham believed that, but
well, let's say Billy Graham said, "Sow me a $1,000 seed, and you'll be blessed."
Okay, so he's adding his belief to it, and getting yours involved. That's the meaning of the two powers.
The meaning of the two powers. This people go, "Oh my God, Billy Graham believes in God."
Mm-hmm.
If he believes in God, I can believe in God. Look what God's done to him. Look what God has given Billy Graham. Billy Graham has a boat. He has a yacht. He has a mansion. And you know what? Even if I could just be part of that and just touch that, smell it. Even if I don't get a boat, I'm part of Billy Graham's club. Here's my freaking Billy Graham card, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, signed by Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
But not, you know, but I'm serious.
I know what you're saying.
I'm serious.
But that's scripture to believe and you'll receive.
Absolutely.
There's
these people believe in Billy.
That.
They believe in Christ and they believe that Jesus Christ said, okay, we gave you Billy Graham to spread my word around amongst people. If there's enough people out there who believe that, there's enough people out there going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is Billy Graham wrong? I can't say he's wrong. It's not for me to judge. I'm not the judger here. I can't judge Billy Graham. Only God can judge Billy Graham. In great spirit or whatever. Okay, but Billy Graham has touched people's lives. I'm not going to say he hasn't.
Exactly. Okay? No, I agree totally.
And you know what?
A lot of good work.
And you know, I don't know Billy Graham from Adam. And for me to say anything bad about Billy Graham, maybe I don't agree with Billy Graham's tactics. You know, maybe I. There's a part of me that's kind of shunned.
That's not the way we do it.
Oh no, Billy Graham. Why would you tell people that? You know, because I have a different belief system. I come from a different background. I come from a different place. You know, so for me that doesn't resonate. And that's what happens. People don't resonate with certain things. You know, there are people who don't believe that you need Jesus Christ to talk to God. Mm-hmm. Why does God need a secondary guy? Why does he need a guy in the phone booth to talk? You know, hold on, I'm going to connect you through. Hold on, 1 second. God, hold on. Iggy's here. Katie's here. But some people believe that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they have the right to believe that. Who are we to say that? Who's for us to say anything is wrong?
Right.
I'm not saying, you know, I don't know if Christianity is right. I don't know if Muslims are right. I don't know if the Mormons are right. I don't know. But I know in my heart what's right.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I feel, what resonates with me, and what centers me, and what brings me happiness and joy.
Right. So what right do I have to tell someone else that they're wrong if they feel the same way about what they're practicing?
You know, I mean, when we do cross over, when we do go to that next existence, we will find out what was real if we don't already.
I asked at a minister's conference at a cross, what do you call interfaith, where there's a lot of different religions in one room, and the question was asked, what if everybody was right instead of wrong? And I said, look at all the stuff that we have in common, that all the religions have in common, instead of looking at what there is that are differences. And that was one of the topics of the forum, interface or whatever you call it, type conference. And it was true. People started really looking at what they all had in common instead of what they didn't have in common. And everybody is right. That's what I found out with my studies. As a person that's a theologian, that's a studier of religions, I found out that everybody is right. We don't have to be the same. We don't have to worship the same. We don't have to look at everything the same. Or we all be robots or clones or something like that. It's good to have differences. It's good to be different and to look at creation differently and look at the great spirit, God, Elohim, Allah, differently. Krishna.
Jack.
Some lady called him Bob.
Yeah,
she said, is it okay if I call God Bob? And I said, yeah, whatever you want to call him. He knows you're talking to him.
I don't know how he turned around.
Or her.
Turn Bob around so Bob.
So, you know, if he's Bob to you, then he's Bob. You know, if he's Allah, he's Allah. If he's Elohim, he's Elohim.
Right.
You know, if he's Yahweh, he's Yahweh.
What if God was one of us?
Yeah. Well, what, you know, it's funny that you said that. There's a guy, well, there's several guys who've come back and they said that, you know, Peru has one, Brazil has one, but there's one here in Puerto Rico who says he's Jesus, you know, man came back.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are like flocking him like crazy.
Right.
And you know what? And they're giving a lot of money, man. And he goes, there's no hell. He goes, there's no hell. And he goes, there's heaven, but there's no hell. You know, he's saying all these things, you know. That people, because people don't want to be damned.
Right.
You know, people really don't want to be damned. You know, we mess up, okay? People mess up, man.
Sure.
And then for someone to tell me, you know what, you messed up.
Eternity because you messed up.
Yes. And
you
know what?
You didn't say the right words at the right time. Now you spend the rest, eternity.
Yeah.
There's no end. You're in hell.
And churches are wondering why people are flocking to these type of churches. Because you know what? You know what, father in their right mind would do that to their kid, you know?
You're going to hell. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says you're going to hell.
No.
That's someone's made-up
invention
control method.
And how can I in heaven have a good time knowing that somebody I love is in hell, you know,
yeah,
for eternity?
You know, I think we manifest and create these things in our development. We start to pass and we start to move. We start to worry. We start to wear on us.
Mm.
You know, it starts to create. We start to create because we don't stop creating after we die.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize we keep creating. You know, we're still developing. We're still out there. We're not. Energy doesn't dissipate. Doesn't get destroyed. It changes form and it becomes something else.
Right. Right.
What that is, we don't know. You know, we don't know what that is exactly. You know, we come back. We don't come back. But as far as I know, everything that's on this planet is locked in under that, you know, that bubble. You know, we call the atmosphere. When things try to shoot through there, you know, that through that force field, it gets disintegrated pretty good.
But look at it, all gets recycled, reused.
Yes.
Become one thing becomes another. So all these atoms around us have all been different things at one time or another.
Yeah.
You know?
Carbon-based beings.
Right.
I want to be a tree.
Well, just think of this.
Plant a tree.
You go this far.
Bo, get away from Katie. Don't do that.
The beer you drank or the pop, you know, the water, bottled water you drank could be hundreds and hundreds of years old.
It could have been in the glacier. It used to be over this land for a mile.
And you take it into your body and you take those molecules into your system. You take the sustenance out of the minerals that they put into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All those rock, all that stone, you know, that has, you know, endured time.
Moose pee.
There's little workers inside you. They're breaking that down and making it part of you and flushing out the waste. And
I think we're, as humans, we fear our mortality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're fearful because we enjoy being here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think most...
Much of a struggle and sometimes a hard time is this. Life is good.
Yeah, because most people, unless they're really depressed or really, you know, in a place where they can't function or something's not right with them in the sense, I don't want to say right, but something just doesn't resonate with this time period with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing. But I think in general, most people, through all the crap and all the bullshit that goes on in life, they like life. You know, there's something about looking at a tree and seeing your kids grow up and watching things happen, you know. You know, I talked to you about this with you, you know, and, you know, I wonder if the work we're doing is going to be remembered. You know, you said, well, I laid some seeds down so people remember. You know, I thought about that. And well, you know, I hope I know you're enough seeds in the right soil, you know.
True.
Seeds, you know,
have to find the right soil. But they're out there and we'll probably never see the fruit of them. You know?
Right.
But they're there, you know, and some people have taken away much more than we think that they have from what we've done. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I agree with you there.
Yeah. And those ripples will go outward and outward and outward. So we're part of that. And who we are, even we, you, me, and Katie, I mean, we've been other things before. So this is just our temporary manifestation here, you know.
We just seem to like it here more than
Now, you all might have heard this before, but there is a scripture that says, some plant, some water, and some
harvest
see the increase.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have been in that place in several places of our life where we have planted,
mm-hmm.
we have helped fertilize and water, and then we have gathered in the harvest. So it's a part of the life cycle. It's a part of being, and someone else is going to reap the harvest of our planting. But we're going to reap the harvest of someone else's planting.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you put out there, any seed that you plant, even in a person, somewhere along, it's going to have increase. Nothing with good intention that is sown out there is going to wither and die. Sometimes you do plant on rocky soil or in desert lands, but somehow with good intent, I think with the right intention, that seed is going to find some fertile soil somewhere in the rockiest heart or in the rockiest place, and it's going to sprout and grow. Just like sometimes you see a tree, like on our hikes, we see trees growing out the side of a rock.
Yeah,
and that's a miracle in and of itself. So anything, just, you know, we sow out there, we say our prayers, we put good intentions on it, I believe that seed is going to grow and have a good harvest.
I thought it was just a squirrel lost his nut.
There it is.
Silent cliff. No, but you have, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because that makes me feel a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was one of those things, you know, you want, you see your kids and they're around you and you wonder, I can get what I'm doing here. It's not for them, it's for me, but you want them also to kind of get it, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That your dad's not some kook dressed up in ponchos and chuyos and running around with maracas and the thing going, chuyo, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I see Jeevee. I see you and Jeevee, or Jeevee and you, or something like that all the time. When I see Jeevee, and sometimes the way he acts,
yeah.
I'm like, that's Iggy Garcia.
Yeah.
We often don't get an appreciation for our parents until much later in life when we look back and go, boy, they worked hard, or they were there for me, or, you know, they tried to teach me good lessons that were really true and I didn't believe at the time, those kind of things. So, you know, I think that over time, you get a different perspective about that.
Yeah, and I love our talk because it's really inspired me to reach for more, obtain more. And sometimes you don't know why you do these shows or why we sit here, you know, for 90 minutes and talk. But I sometimes go back and listen to our shows when I have a little bit of time, and it's really inspiring to hear where we've come.
Yeah.
And I want to say that with, you know, with honor and respect, because I'm not saying we weren't nothing back then. We're just come off. Far, we've come a long way.
Well, we've changed and morphed together.
You know, because a lot of things we said, we don't remember. But a lot of people that we've taught, that I know, we know, they repeat a lot of the stuff we say.
Right.
And I said, that's what David said. That's what Katie said. That's what I said, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know that the work you're doing is important and valuable to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the right people always show up regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have seen us evolve. I have seen us develop into much different people from where we started. You know, we've not necessarily given up anything, you know, in the sense like sacrifice, huge sacrifices, but we've invited things into our being, and the things we didn't need, we just kind of said, okay, that's fine, I don't need that, but I get that, I resonate with that, you know, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were humble and honored to receive these gifts from one another and all the people who work with us. You know, I'm always honored, you know, I'm always, you know, that's why I like power out with you guys.
Yeah.
It's more fun with some people who want to go on the same trip with you.
It is.
Right.
I have nothing against walking in the woods by myself and stuff, but, you know, when you go with some friends, you just see a whole different world.
Mm-hmm. I've walked alone for a long time in my life, you know, so this is a time when I'm actually with people who get the same things that I get, you know, and have the same interests and the same values and the same worldview that I do. And so this is a very special time for me. I'm so glad that I made it through some of the darker times and some of the more lonely times, some of the lost times that I went through to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, wants me to give other people hope for that, too. You know, when you see people who are maybe contemplating suicide, or, you know, just are so depressed or feel so isolated, you know, that keep walking. Just keep walking. I mean, life isn't always, you know, sunshine and roses, but it's always worth it, you know. Even to get through the mess, you'll find out that when you get through that mess and that darkness and that all that yucky stuff, that it becomes fuel for something greater. It becomes something you can share with others, and you'll have a common bond. You know, you've gone through some shared suffering that they have, and you'll have a perspective for what they're going through, and you want to help them. You know, because you want to bring something positive out of that. It's like when people get molested in their youth. You know, and that's terrible. That's horrible. You know, nobody should have to go through that.
but they come through it, and then they have a heart for helping other more abused children that wouldn't have had that person there if they had surrendered or given up. So there's always good can come out. Here I was supposed to talk about bad stuff and darkness. Here I'm getting all light and happy. What's going on?
No, but you know what? It's important. You've come the whole circle. Sure. You know, you started off where, you know, we talked about how some people are so trapped in their one way of thinking that they don't see the other, that there's suffering out there. There are people who are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to come down into the suffering a little bit and help them come out of that. You know, hey, you know what? There is hope. Like you just said, you know, there is hope, you know. So here's an ugly dog, you know. But you know what I'm saying? Some people, it's not ugly.
Yeah.
Or some people, it's beautiful. But you were not saying it was...
That was my point, was that, you know, this... Some people go, oh, what a cute little puppy when they were seeing your puppy. And I said, what about this? You know, would you adopt this dog? This dog needs a home too, you know.
Right.
And he's the world's ugliest dog, but at the same time, what's that mean? There's still a beautiful soul inside of that shape. Really? Still, and you can still touch that heart. Well, I'm going to start to tear up here, guys. Because I'm thinking about this woman who had her baby, even though she knew that the baby would be terribly deformed. You probably have seen that. And she had it anyway, and she was just so... so happy, and that child smiled, and she lit up, and, you know, people would look at that child and go, thank you, and go, oh, you're ugly and hideous, and how could you want to live, you know, and life is beautiful, and that child saw that, and knows that, and will grow up with a loving mother who also sees that. So,
you know, we're given things, we're given gifts. Sometimes we don't see them as gifts until much later, and we see them right away, too, you know, depends, and, we all want the perfect scenario. We all want the perfect, you know, whatever. But is there anything perfect? I mean, really? I mean, in the end, you may have the most beautiful child, but the most, you know, hateful child, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's a child who doesn't appreciate anything.
Right.
You may have a child who's, you know, handicapped and just one that sees the world in a light that only they can paint for you, that you couldn't even imagine that they could paint for you.
Exactly.
You know?
Life is precious. We can't create life from scratch. You know, we can only work with it and manipulate it, but we're not the creator.
No, we're not.
What are you going to do with your lemons? Are you going to make lemonade?
I'm making margaritas, personally.
Get up the blender.
Or even, there's so many uses for lemons. They're not just sour. Lemons are sweet. Or even, just like I learned lately, vinegar. Vinegar has so many uses, no matter what kind of vinegar it is. Apple cider vinegar, raw apple cider vinegar has so many uses. How do you know what that person or that soul that's in that child is going to be until you let it grow and thrive? You know, how do you know? One of my nephews was born with what they call a bubble head. One of those where his head was deformed and it was swelling up and they thought he was going to be brain dead. Or they thought he was going to, not brain dead, but brain damaged. So we had to decide to put what they call a shunt into his head, my nephew Kim. And they said he was going to have some difficulty the rest of his life. You know, that child, he had dwarf syndrome of what they call it. My nephew is no more than maybe about 5'3" tall. But he was one of the smartest kids in his class.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have brain damage. He's a comedian. He's been an extra in many films. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia. He's been an extra in many films. He has a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter.
His name is Kevin Hart. No, I'm joking.
He's a little bit lighter than Kevin Hart, but they're about the same size. But they had told my sister and my family it'd be best to send him away and put him in an institution when he was born.
Oh, wow.
You never know what some child is going to be, what the powers of the divine or what God has for that person that society may want to destroy or put away. And that child grew up to be a very smart, very responsible man today, and I would go get him as a child every chance I get. And I remember one time I went to go get him at school. He was at Reed Elementary School here in Columbus on the southeast side. And one time I went, and it was a surprise. And I was trying to get in there, but he he was being the hall monitor that day, and I didn't know. And here I am coming into the school to get him, and then he sees me, and he lights up. Here's this, and he was no bigger than a minute, and here he is lighting up. He's like, "My Aunt Kathy's here! My Aunt Kathy's here!" And start running down the hall. I wanted to tell him, because people call me Kathy way back when. I hated that name, but they call me Katie now. But it's just like, I'm like, Kim, shush. I got to go to the office and sign you out. But because I had come getting early, it was like the end of the day, and school hadn't let out yet. But I have four nephews and a niece, and I would time again go get one of them and just spend time with them as individuals. Mm-hmm. And that was the day I had chosen to spend time with Kim. And Kim grew up, I mean, he is like about 35 years old now. And Kim is a remarkable young man, a human being. And his daughter, she just turned 8 years old, and she's at the top of her class. Straight A's. She is doing like sixth grade work, and she is the age up to where she should be in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So she has advanced so much. So you never know what a soul is going to be. Yep. You never know what a child is going to grow up to be. If society says put a child away, no. If you can take time and energy and sow those seeds of love, kindness, goodness into that child, and if you've got the strength to do it, God gave you that child for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
humans are
miraculous. That's my spiel. That's my preaching.
There you go. Amen. Thank you.
But I'm proud of my nephew Kim.
You should be.
You absolutely should be. You know, and it just shows you, like I was saying, that the human beings don't accept the curse of someone else telling you you're going to be this or that, or you know, doctors don't know you. You know, mm-hmm. They don't know inside of you. They don't know your spirit and your heart and what you're capable of. Because there's quadriplegic people who jump out of planes and skydive and have exciting lives, and they're out there as a testament to what we are capable of.
Yeah, and we're sitting here going. I'm not skydiving, you know.
Oh, that's on my bucket list.
You know, parents do that too to kids.
Mm-hmm.
They create limiting beliefs inside kids sometimes.
Sure.
Because if they were, it was built inside them.
Right. So you're not like your brother, you know. Yeah. You're the.
Or you're nothing without me.
You're the responsible one, you know.
You're not gonna be anything without me.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize the words they say.
Never put your child down. Yeah. Always raise them up. Raise
them up.
You know, tell them they're smart. Tell them they're capable. Tell them they can do anything they set their mind to.
If you can't say anything positive, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the whole thing. That's very true to today.
My mom never said anything that was against us. She always gave us positive words every single day. She never called us stupid. She never called us out our name. She never told us we weren't smart. She always says you can do anything you put your mind to. Or she'll say, "I know you're capable of better."
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know, you bring a C home. "I know you're capable of better. I would like to see better from you."
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like always some kind of encouragement. Encourage your children. Encourage your nieces. Encourage your nephews. Even if you don't have children in your life. I never married or had kids, but I had plenty of kids in my life to where I can encourage them and never put them down.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna. Preaching.
There you are.
Because
everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
How are we doing on time, Chief?
9:15 almost. Okay. We're almost there.
All right. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit more about something that may start out as a little bit dark and a little bit heavy, but we can always find, you know, other ways into it too. And that's about the future.
Okay. Right there. Hold that thought.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
We are back. You're listening to With Insights Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
All right. Katie Garcia.
Katie Crows, and Katie
Singing. The awesome Katie Singing Eagle.
And everything is awesome.
That's right. Well, just before the break there, I said I wanted to talk a little bit about the future. You know, the future isn't set in stone, and some people can maybe get a feeling or an intuition or make a prediction based upon the past about the future. I have to say that what I've seen of the future sometimes the feeling I get is that it's not going to be such so rosy for a while for us. I think we built a system up that is, for one, not sustainable, for one, that's based upon debt, which never can last. Debt is actually slavery, and I think that we've become slaves to that. We've become prisoners in a world we don't want to see the bars, you know. We occupy ourselves so we don't want to look outside and see what's really going on, you know. And we feel powerless. We feel we either want to just ignore it and don't want to hear about it or talk about it, or all we do is complain about it. And that's not positive ways to deal with it, because the system as it is just going to keep going on and on and on until everything's used up. And we need to really focus on how are we going to change that. Are we going to change it by just thinking of love and light all the time in our little bubbles, or are we going to have to actually step out and maybe confront that a little bit? Are we going to have to maybe take it to the streets? I'm not talking about riots and bloodshed, but, you know, that's certainly possible. I look around sometimes, and this is what gets me, is that sometimes I think, this isn't going to last. This may not be here in 10 years. You might not be here in 10 years, you know. I might not be here in 10 years. The people I love, you know, you start to think about them as, you know, maybe I'm looking at a ghost. You know, maybe I'll look back on this and go, I remember thinking that when she was alive or he was alive, you know. Mm-hmm. I hope that that's not true, but I feel like we have had a long period of time in this country where we haven't had to fight for our freedoms. We haven't had to confront what's really going down. And that lack of involvement has been our own fault, for one thing. And for another thing, it's been taken advantage of by those who have stepped into the void and gone, oh, okay, well, if you're not going to make your own decisions, or you're not going to notice that I'm doing this and protest about it, then we'll just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Here, we'll give you, Dancing with the Stars to watch for a while. We'll give you this movie over here to check out. You know, oh, look, Ebola over here. Worry about Ebola, because you don't want to see what we're doing over here. So, you know, things come up like that. And I'm not saying there's some big conspiracy behind it, but it's the oldest conspiracy in the world, and that's just greed. That's just powering greed. So, you know, I want to find a positive way out of that and a positive way to address that, but it does need to be addressed. It won't be addressed by us sitting on the sidelines or being a fringe movement of people who... Remember those folks who used to talk about love and light? Well, whatever happened to them, you know? They got swept under the rug, you know? They got pushed away because they weren't focused and they weren't confronting what really needed to be confronting in a powerful way. We almost need a leader, but at the same time, we don't want a dictator that's going to come along and tell people how to live. Mm-hmm. But we need someone to inspire us. We need to be inspired in ourselves and become those inspired people that let others know that we can be empowered, you know? And we're not... But just a bunch of crazy hippie, you know, flower people who, you know, worship crystals or whatever, you know. But that's the way most of the world sees us, though, you know, because we're not effective. We're not out there in the headlines and everything.
That's because we don't understand certain things. Just because we step out of the real world, we don't have to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to someone's business, you support it. You know what I'm saying? You don't just because you're mother and mother, you don't drink anymore. I mean, there's other things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, there's other ways to support, like in anything.
I've got to pay taxes, though, and those taxes go to war, and those taxes pay, you know, this person off and that person, or go to black budget projects that I'll never see.
You know, it's funny you say that, you know, because if we're such Latin love,
mm-hmm.
why do you want your money to go to that?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, to me, I have no choice. I mean, it's going to go there, or it's going to be taken.
Well, I'm up to you.
No, personally, I don't. I'd like to go to education and empowering people to be free, and, you know, all these.
So we're a contradiction.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm living in a contradiction. I'm part of the problem.
Part of the problem.
I go to work every day in my car, and I burn petroleum, and I go and I pay the pump of the gas pump prices, and, you know, I work for other people to make them wealthy, and at the same time, I fall into debt sometimes, and, you know, I'm a wage slave.
And just like the majority of our love and light folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have to drive their cars to get to places unless mm-hmm. they have an electric car. But there are no true electric cars unless you can pay $50,000 for one.
Right.
But, you know, even those cars use petroleum. They right. use coal to burn.
How much plastic do I throw away a day for my own production, you know, that I've helped?
This is with. Just my production by myself.
Yeah. Okay.
No, seriously, all water bottles, papers.
Mm-hmm.
Look what one person does.
You know, I love Mother Earth. I want to be sustainable, but I, I have to shed a tear every once in a while because I can't all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you can if you want to, but
well, you know,
I lived in a completely sustainable community like we want to have,
right?
Or you know, wear my own hand.
Oh, they don't want that.
Yeah.
If you could be self-sustainable, then you don't need to
have a target.
Your target, because you know what? Then you inspire other people.
Mm.
Oh wait, they're doing it. We can do it. Oh
right,
wait, look, they're doing it. Oh wait, look, they're doing it.
Right.
You create a system. Our system we're in right now, I don't know how it works, but it works, man. You know, like our government has,
yeah.
You know, it's like there's this paper trail and there's these people and then they just take your documents and. But it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You ever stop to think about it?
Oh yeah.
You know, just like it's like, where does all this go?
Mm.
Where is it going?
Have you all ever seen the show Person of Interest?
Mm-mm.
That show talks about shows how the computer system and how the traffic, the credit cards, and all that system follows us around every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is a person of interest on this computer that they have, a person of interest is someone who is out to do something wrong. It can pick out terrorists. It can pick out criminals. It can pick out people who are longtime offenders, and it keeps an eye on these people throughout the day. It'll spot one person and say, oh, that person's insignificant, and it'll move on to another person and spot them, oh, that person's a longtime offender. We've got to keep an eye on them.
Oh, look, David, we'll swipe his card at BP.
Why is he in Missouri?
Yeah.
So it tells the people or these detectives or these people on the show who to watch out for and who not to watch out for and who to protect and who not to protect.
Yeah.
And there's a computer system and it follows them.
That's interesting you say that. You know, so who's really in control?
Mm-hmm.
The system that we created, and now that we have punched into computers, that now we give an order. You know, the
program's written and algorithms written that will search out.
And these cops, don't they realize that we're all people and they're people too? They can be just as targeted.
They could,
You know,
cameras everywhere.
It's almost like science fiction, you know? I mean, when do we actually control? When do we actually say what needs to be done?
It's like everything else. We give up control when we want safety or we want to take it easy. When we don't want to think for ourselves, work for ourselves, you know, struggle for ourselves. We create machines or we create systems that do it for us, but we give up our power when we do that.
That's a scary thought, dude.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. My life can be dictated by a program.
Mm-hmm.
They know when we swipe our card.
Right.
They know when we make a transaction at our bank. They know they can see our license plates from a camera on the street.
Mm-hmm.
They're
probably listening now.
Can you hear me now? If you can, disconnect me right now. No.
But,
you hear what you wish
for? Something you can't do is live in fear of it. You got to live your life. You got to go on like nothing's happening, you know?
I said I'm going to be me right up until they knock on the door and take me away. And when I do, I'll still be me. Just remember
so
who I was, you know?
I saw Dracula yesterday.
Okay.
It was really good. It was interesting because it was kind of like the Dark Side of Lego movie. You know, Dracula was tired of fighting wars and, you know.
He wanted to keep his people safe.
Keeps people safe. And then he got to this one part where he's meeting the original vampire who was tricked by a demon. That's how he became a vampire. Couldn't leave this cave. So Dracula kind of went there to, you know, see how he got his power.
Yeah.
And so it was funny because he had 3 days that he could use the powers for 3 days. At the third day, if he took blood any time of the day, he saved Dracula. But his whole intentions were to save his people and not to have war anymore and to end all wars. So it was just like, I think I've heard that before, you know, to end all wars.
Right.
And, you know, it's a good movie to watch because it brought a human aspect to Vlad the Impaler.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part he goes, why did you, the vampire goes, so why did you impale all those soldiers? You know, why do you want this power? Why did you do that? Answer me that question. He goes, because I knew it was never going to stop and I had to create a monster. I had to create myself into a monster to put fear in the men's eyes so they wouldn't come across my borders again.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting, you know?
Yeah, when you think about it, you know, I mean, look at just about what all people do. Sometimes they do it out of love. We don't see that, you know? I mean, people want to create their own cultures and societies. And they may be against what we want, but they're trying to do it out of love for their people or what they, you know, so it comes in a lot of different forms, and we can't just label somebody, you're that, you know, and you're evil and you're bad.
Well, that's what happened in the movie. Everybody he helped turned against them temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
their mind went off the what was happening, and they saw that he was the vampire because the monk saw him, and they tried to burn him. They couldn't kill him because he's in the dark. But the point was, Dracula was actually a good guy in this movie. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a bad guy like we see in the movies, you know, where he's like,
yeah.
He was actually trying to do good through the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And
he sacrificed himself.
Yeah, and he did. You know, and people all got killed, but then he brought some vampires alive to help destroy the rest of the army. Mm-hmm. But then he had control of the weather. He opens up the clouds, and then he kills all, because the other vampires, he knew that the people he created vampires were not good. We're not.
He needed them for a time.
Yeah, so he opened up the clouds, and he burned himself temporarily. And I still can't figure out who this one guy is. You have to watch the movie to kind of figure out. There's this one guy who just, like, drags and cuts his hand, puts blood in his mouth. Kind of like a minion type guy.
Okay.
One just wants to be his. It was kind of interesting. I still don't know who that guy was.
Yeah, in the Dracula stories, there's a man like that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's probably who it is.
Yeah, the minion guy.
But he saves him in the end. Dracula sacrifices himself.
Rehnquist or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was actually a demon or a man, or he wanted to be a vampire or didn't want to be a vampire. I couldn't quite figure that out. But he knew he was following him the whole time.
He was a groupie.
So the groupie saved him.
Yeah.
But he did away with all the other vampires because he knew if he didn't, there was going to be a problem on the whole freaking planet.
Right.
You know,
put the genie back in the bottle.
But he was good. Even to when he got into the modern time, he was still good. But the main vampire guy was like...
In the cave?
He's out of the cave now because he took the blood.
Yeah.
Freedom. So he tricked him. You know, he knew that he couldn't... There was no way he was going to resist. But the weird part was at the end, they see him, and then he goes, that the game is beginning. Because for him, it was all a game.
Yeah.
This old vampire guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those, you have to watch the movie, because it's really interesting.
What, did it leave it open at the end?
Yes, there's going to be a part two.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so in our society, there's always a part two.
Yeah. So we're 5 minutes left, so let's go with some closing thoughts real quick here. Ladies first.
Always be good to yourself and to each other. And always and try to be a light in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But be in the darkness. Okay. You know, I started the show out. I had a few things to say, and I said them. And I hope that I said them in a manner that people understand, and that, you know, we all get frustrated sometimes. We all should get frustrated sometimes. You know, we all should be real with one another. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to make an off-color joke, you know, that some people might go, oh, I can't believe you said that. You're a saint. How those words come out of your mouth?
Saint David.
You know, I'm a human being, you know, and I love being a human being, and I love being with other human beings. And you know, you can't sustain yourself as a real person and only be of the light, because, you know what, we're human beings. We walk in both places. And so... I do love, I do hope, I do wish for peace, you know, but I want to be an active person that knows the difference between lightness and darkness, and knows how to negotiate with either one of those. You know, you line yourself too much with one side and you're weakening the other. So we walk in two worlds, and I just want to make sure that, you know, people understand that sometimes we need to touch on that too. So.
Very good. Well, I'm just going to echo back to you guys what you said. I mean, you pretty much said it. I think we said a lot today on the show, and it was important to share what we had in our hearts and what was in our minds and the things we need. Somebody out there is going to hear it and needs to hear it if it wasn't us. So I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Kate.
Thank you.
Thank you for
this opportunity. And I promise our viewers or our listeners that one day we're going to do a show that's just all readings and relationships and jobs and whatever's going on in your personal life. Because we sometimes get off on these shows where, you know, it's like we talk about these big, deep subjects. But I know people have questions and they want readings and so on and so forth. So we're happy to still do that.
And we know we are a holistic forum. And then we do readings if we can, if we get to that point. So there's no sweat about that. And I think our listeners are good about understanding that. If not, you know,
There's lunchtime wisdom tomorrow.
Yeah. And then we have an end of love on Thursday. And then we have Manto at midnight on Fridays. So there's plenty of people to listen to.
Yep.
But we want to thank you for tuning in, and we'll see everybody next week.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
show, guys.